From the moment that I first stepped onto the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, I felt at home. Can it really explain why that was? I don't know if it was just the architecture of the building, whether it was the way the campus were laid out, or that I considered it an act of God that they accepted me into the program. One of those, but I felt at home on the campus at the seminary and St. Louis, which is a good thing because I spent a good deal of time on campus in my years at seminary. So that by the time I got to my fourth year, I knew the campus like the back of my hand. I knew which hallways were the busiest if I was running late. I knew shortcuts that I could take. I knew where all the profs' offices were. I knew the place backwards and forward that I could get around. So one day, I'm running a little bit late for class, except for the fact that I have really got to use the restroom. And I'm not going to make it through class. And so, no problem. I know exactly where I'm going. I dash into Winneken Hall. I hit the hallway, burst right through the door into the bathroom. And immediately, I don't recognize anything in here. There are certain fixtures that should be in here that are not in here. I had dashed right into the women's restroom. Thankfully, God was gracious. There was no one in there. I offered up a prayer that no one would be in the hallway as I snuck back out of the women's restroom and into the correct one. Now, in fairness to myself, this is an older building, and so the men's restroom door here and the women's restroom door is here. You know, modern day, they separate them. Well, not in this building, right next to each other, and I had dashed in to the wrong door. But frankly, it was my fault. I was in a hurry. I wasn't paying attention. I assumed I knew where I was going, and I did not pay attention to the sign on the door. Because the sign on the door clearly said, women. If I had paid attention to the sign, I would have gone into the right room. We've got to pay attention to the signs. One of the thieves hanging next to Jesus paid attention to the sign. The other one did not. One of them saw Jesus as a king. The other one just saw him as a fool. To one of them, Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He didn't to the other. One of the thieves paid attention to the signs. The other one didn't. We need to pay attention to the signs. All of us at one time or another seek direction from God, want guidance from God. I mean, how many times have you said or at least thought in your mind, God, couldn't you just give me a sign? Well, I believe and I will contend that God does give us signs and that God does reveal himself to us and that God does give us guidance and he does give us direction. But my friends, we have to pay attention to the signs. You pay attention to the signs when you see the obvious, when you search in the unusual, and when you're sensitive to the subtle. See the obvious. Now, that's easy to miss. It's easy to miss the obvious because when we get into a routine or when things become commonplace, it's easy for us to sort of block things out and miss them. So, for instance, when I first moved here, if you were to ask me directions for someplace, I would have been very detailed in my directions. I would have told you how many miles you needed to go, the name of each and every road that you would make a turn on, and there, voila, you would be at your destination. Now, today, if you say, "Hey, Ron, how do you get to your house?" I'd say, "Well, go on here, turn left, then turn right. Go 7 miles down, and then, let's see, after you pass Hickley, it's the first left into Seville. I think you go past some offices." Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you do. I couldn't tell you what is the name of the street to get in to my subdivision. There's a back way out of our subdivision. I don't know any of the names of those streets, but I have no problem navigating it. You see, I'm oblivious to the obvious. The street signs are there. At one time, I paid close attention to them, but not anymore. It just became so commonplace that I just breeze past it? Do we miss the obvious? I mean, have we missed the obvious where God is active and God is revealing himself, but we missed it? So, for instance, I wonder about the disciples. Were Jesus' miracles so commonplace that they weren't all that impressed anymore? I don't know, because Scripture doesn't tell us everything that happened. But as you read through the Gospels, Jesus does miraculous things. A lame man walks, a blind man can see, another one's cured of leprosy. He takes fish and loaves and he feeds 5,000 people and he walks on water. There's all these incredible things. But I never see any astonishment or amazement on the disciples. Either they're afraid or they're arguing among themselves about some little insignificant thing. Had it become so commonplace of Jesus and his healings? Oh, there he goes again. I don't know, because it's not all revealed to us. But what I do know is that we can miss the obvious. Because God is still performing miracles yet today. We just have become oblivious to them. Some of the greatest miracles of today, as far as I'm concerned, is what God does through the gift of medicine. Modern-day medicine does incredible things. It wasn't that many years ago that if someone was going in for open-heart surgery, there was a lot of wringing of hands, there was lots of tears being shed, doctors were very cautious, you were going to be in the hospital for weeks on end, and it would be touch and go. Today, it's pretty much just routine. You hear about someone having open heart surgery and go, oh, well, that's kind of serious, isn't it? But you really don't give it much of a thought. And it seems to me that the same day or the next day, they get discharged from the hospital. It's just routine today. That doesn't make it any less of a miracle. Think of what God allows us to do, to go inside the human heart, to repair it, to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, and then they're fine. It's incredible what God has allowed us to do. Don't miss the obvious of God's hand at work. Pay attention. Pay attention to what's happening around us in nature and the world. And then the most obvious is pay attention to his word. A few moments ago, we sang, "The heavens declare your glory." Do we not take them for granted? That when we wake up, the sun's going to be there, and tonight we're going to see the moon. We take for granted that the planets are not going to collide into one another, and the whole universe isn't going to collapse. That's not by accident. That's God's handiwork. That's God's provision. Don't miss God revealing himself in nature. And certainly don't miss God revealing himself in his word. I mean, if you're looking for direction, if you're looking for guidance, the most obvious place to go is to the Bible, where he has revealed himself to us, and it's written down so that we can read it. We've got it on our tablets, we've got it on our phones, we've got it in paper, you can get it on the internet. It's all around us. And then the writer of Hebrews points out something for us, which is interesting. So if we go to Hebrews 1, he says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." So in the past, God spoke to his people. He first started by speaking to Adam and Eve, right? Then he spoke to Moses, and then it was the prophets. He would speak to them. They would deliver the message to the people. But, the Hebrew writer says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He says, but now, instead of God going through the prophets, God himself speaks to us. Jesus came and lived among us, and Jesus spoke to us. Well, shouldn't we pay attention to what Jesus has to say? A few weeks ago, I did an exercise, and most of the staff did this, and that is, we're to read through a gospel, but pay special attention to Jesus' words. So if you've got a red letter edition of the Bible, that makes it the easiest thing to do. So just go through in one sitting and just read all of the words written in red. I did that in Mark. Incredible. Just to read what Jesus had to say. in these latter days, he has spoken to us through his Son. So listen to the words of his Son. I have a challenge for you, because it won't take you that long. This next week, don't put it off, this next week, pick one of the Gospels. I don't care which one. Read just the words in red. Don't even worry about context. Just read Jesus' words and tell me that God doesn't speak to you. Tell me that it doesn't make a difference to you. In these latter days, God has revealed himself through his Son. But all of Scripture is there for us. St. Paul, in writing to young Pastor Timothy, says, all Scripture is breathed out by God, inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Everything that we need to know is there, revealed in Scripture. If you're looking for direction and guidance, if you're saying, God, give me a sign, don't miss the obvious. Don't miss, see the obvious way in which God has revealed himself. And then search for the unusual. You know, God in the past has been fairly creative sometimes in how he has communicated to his people. One can go back to Moses, and Moses is minding his own business, and there's a bush that's on fire, but it's not being consumed. Lo and behold, he walks up to the bush, and the bush starts talking to him. God speaking through a burning bush. And as unusual as that might be, I don't think it's the most unusual. The most unusual in my book is when Balaam is going along and his donkey starts talking to him. That one has got to top the list when your donkey starts talking to you, and that's how God chooses to communicate with you. So God at times has been creative in how he reveals himself to his people. After all, he used a Roman governor to declare his son as a king. Now, Pilate didn't mean for that to happen, but Pilate declared Jesus as a king. All Pilate was doing was trying to demonstrate this is the punishment that you get. Not really all that unusual that when a criminal was being crucified, what they're accused of was put on top of their head, nailed to the cross. So he's the king of the Jews. What Pilate was trying to say to anyone who walked by, listen, if you think you're a king, this is what we do to kings. There's only one rule, and that's Rome. You want to be a king, you get crucified. Pilate was trying to make a point. God seized an opportunity. God seized an opportunity to declare to the world that Jesus is a king. Even as he hangs upon the cross, taking upon the sins of mankind, he's declared a king. Let's look at it. John chapter 19. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. Now, first of all, the crucifixion would have gathered a crowd because as human beings, we're kind of morbid like that, and we gather around executions. I really don't understand that, but we do. But some people wouldn't. But where he was crucified was central into going into the city, so people would pass by. So a large number of people would have seen Jesus, and they could read the sign above him. But then he goes on, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. All the major languages of that time, they're all declaring Jesus as a king. Aramaic, Hebrew, that's the language of the Jews, so they would read it there. Latin is the language of Rome, power and authority. They would understand it. Greek is the language of philosophy and those who are intellectual, so they would be able to read it. But all of them would read the sign that declared Jesus is king. One of the thieves next to Jesus read the sign, and he recognized Jesus as a king. Remember his words? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He saw Jesus as a king. And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. In what has to be the most unusual circumstance, the most unlikely predicament, a man is being crucified, a slow, agonizing death. And God puts a sign in front of him so that he recognizes Jesus as his King and his Savior. And because he paid attention to the sign, today he's in paradise. Sometimes you have to search the unusual. You have to be mindful in even the strangest of circumstances that God might be revealing himself to you. Oftentimes when we feel hopeless, when we feel like everything has gone wrong and that life is just treating us dirty, and we've prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and it feels like God's not listening and God's not answering, and in despair we just want to give up. But those are the times where we have to search out God. We have to look for the signs. Think of it this way. If you're in unfamiliar territory and you're trying to find some place, don't you diligently search out the signs, straining your eyes to see the next sign on the highway to make sure you don't miss your exit? Hit the high beam so that you see the street that you're supposed to turn on because you're straining to see the sign. When the bottom falls out on life and you're in despair, that's when you want to strain to see the signs. Where is God revealing himself to you? And sometimes it happens at the most inopportune time in one of the most unlikely of ways. Believe it or not, it happened to me on Friday while I was working on this message. I kid you not. Friday mornings are my time to really pencil down, sharpen up the message, get it ready for the weekend. So everybody knows on Friday morning, Ron is going to be in his office, the door is going to be closed, and 9 times out of 10, I'll even have headphones on, right? I want to be focused. I got the nose to the grindstone. I'm working it out. This Friday was no different than that, and everyone knows, unless it's really serious, don't knock on Ron's door. Well, Sandy's knocking on my door. I know it must be important. So I motion her, and she comes in. She goes, there's a gentleman here who needs help. Now, our policy is this. We keep no money on campus. That's a dangerous thing to do. We have gift cards that we give people who are in need. So they can go over to Safeway. They can get fuel. They can get food, whatever they need, right? So why is Sandy coming to me asking about this? She says, no, that's not what he wants. He wants to talk to a pastor. I'll just be transparent with you. I went, okay. Right? So gentleman comes in. I recognize him. I've seen him before. And he goes on to explain that it's him, his wife, and his daughter, that they're homeless, and that they've been staying in a motel for a few nights, and now they need one more night because the next day they've got an apartment or something. I kind of lost it of what he was doing. I have to admit to you, over the years, I've become kind of cynical about these things, right? So I'm sort of listening to him, sort of not, right? I know the policy, we don't give out money, you know, we don't do that. And then as he's telling me that he needs one more night in a motel, I kid you not, James chapter 2 comes to my head. I don't know where James chapter 2, let me read you the verse that came to my mind. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them things needed for the body, what good is that? I paid for the room. In the most unlikely of circumstances, of what some might consider the most inopportune time, in my book, God revealed himself. I don't know if it was the right decision or the wrong decision, but I wasn't going to go against God. Sometimes you have to search and you have to be open that sometimes at the most unlikely of circumstances, God can speak to you and reveal himself to you. Just got to pay attention. Finally, be sensitive to the subtle. I don't know about you, I like it when God is big and proud and there's no doubting that God is speaking, right? We like the big stuff. So for instance, you know, people of Israel, I'm kind of envious a little bit this when they went through the Red Sea. How cool would that be, right? Moses is up there, Red Sea parts, we're marching through. Yeah, that's my God. That's what I'm talking about. Look at this, right? Or down at the foot of Mount Sinai, even as scary as it might have been, thunder, lightning, the earth is shaking. Oh, yeah, that's my God there. The thing is, though, in Scripture, usually God is much more subtle. He's much more subtle when he speaks to his people. So case in point, Elijah. Elijah gets all ticked off and he runs off and he's hiding in a cave, right? And Scripture says that this wind came by, this loud wind, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then the earthquake came by, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then fire came by, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. We pick it up at verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. A low whisper. So Elijah has to strain to hear what God has to say. Really pay attention to what he has to say. Or how about Psalm 46, verse 10, where God says, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we just need to be still and listen. For those of you who are action-oriented like I am, it's not easy. You want to get out there and do something. But there's a lot to be said of putting away the electronics, shutting out the noise, praying to God. I don't mean a drive-by petition where you throw something up to God and keep going. I'm just talking with God and then just listening. Maybe you're reading Scripture, maybe you're not. But you're just listening. If you got a heavy decision you need to make, maybe you just need to listen. And to whatever you land upon, you have a peace about yourself that's the right way. Be sensitive to the subtle. Because God usually doesn't do the big and dramatic. All of us would like a sign from God. We'd like direction. We'd like guidance in our life. I believe the signs are there. God is still revealing himself to us. We just have to pay attention to the signs. See it in the obvious things, like Scripture. Search for it in the unusual times in life. Be sensitive to the subtleties in which God speaks to us. Amen. Stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the signs that you provide for us. We thank you that you spoke through your Son directly to us. We ask that we'd pay attention to the signs. We'd look to Scripture. We'd see you revealing yourself in everyday life. That we'd strain to know where you want us to go, and that by your grace we would have times of quiet. We would just listen to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.